Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy show, and it is time to talk to our guy, Matt Pauley. The winter warm-up is coming up. The Cardinals caravan is coming up. It starts on Friday. And we had some good basketball happen last night. Not so much for SLU. We were hoping for a win against VCU. That did not happen. So let's bring in our guy, Matt Pauley. He's the host of Sports Open Line, Countdown to Opening Day, which will be tomorrow night. Matt, what's going on?
Not much. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. Let's start with SLU. So that would have been a pretty big game for them had they gotten that win against Virginia Commonwealth, but they didn't look so hot.
No, it was not a great game for them last night, and they just they've never won in that building. So you know, we saw really good things from them for the first three conference games, but going to VCU and getting a win there was just a little bit much for them.
All right, now let's talk about Mizzou. Mm-hmm. That is a top five win again.
Yeah.
So they beat Florida last night. They were up by 19 at one point, and they ended up winning that game. It's the second time they've beaten a top five team this year. And for them, that's pretty remarkable. They have not beaten a top five team on the road since 2012. Huge win for Mizzou last night.
Huge. And they certainly didn't get much help from the officiating last night either. There was a lot of things that went against them, and they still found a way to hold on. They're up big at halftime, and then they win. So that's a great win, as you mentioned. I mean, you look at their schedule and what they've done this year. They really haven't lost to anybody they weren't supposed to lose to. Maybe you can look at that first game against Memphis. They probably should have won that game, but it was the first game and it was on the road. There are other losses are against Illinois and against Auburn, ranked number two at the time, and we see where they're at now. I mean, this is a really good Missouri team, and it was good to see them.
This is just a quick bookkeeping question, Matt. Now, this story came out this morning that the University of Missouri's athletics department had a $15 million budget deficit in the 2024 fiscal year. So they brought in Missouri Athletics, $168 mm-hmm. million, dollars, but they spent $183.2 million. This is not unheard of. It's not that it never happened in Mizzou history before. How common is it among big schools like an SEC school to have a deficit, and does this have anything to do with the changing nature of college sports?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I wish I had more of an answer for you. I don't know how common it is. It feels like most programs that are operating at that that level generally are profitable, but it's expensive. It's expensive mm-hmm. to run college athletics, and it's getting more expensive by the day. And it's going to get even more expensive because now the NIL stuff, that money is essentially going to be coming from the universities here coming up very, very soon. So it's hard for me to talk about how common this is. I do think $15 million is kind of a drop in the bucket for a lot of athletic mm-hmm. departments. So it sounds like this really big number. I think when we talk about it, we make it a bigger deal than it actually is, but it is notable that essentially they had to take on a loan from the university.
All right. Let's move to the Blues, who last night get a win over Calgary, which is good for them. And we're past that halfway point of the season, but the Flames are in front of them in the standings. They are going to need to accumulate as many points as possible because their playoff position is precarious right now. That's a lot of alliteration I just did. So good win for them.
Really good win. Now, good win in the sense of like what it stands for. I think you would like to see this team still be a little bit better from an offensive standpoint. They score that first goal within the first minute, and then we don't hear from them again for quite some time. But When you look at what this means in the standings, and now they're going to play another game against Calgary, coming up back-to-back home games against the Flames. When you look at the standings and what this means, it's a really important win because they are now back within 3 points of the final playoff spot. Calgary is the final playoff team. They were 5 points back going in, so they would have been 7 with a loss. It feels like, right, I think Colorado is going to be a playoff team. They're the other wild card team. So it feels like, even though there's still a lot of hockey left to be played, it feels like we're getting to a point where it's going to be Calgary, Vancouver, or the Blues. I'm almost even pushing Utah at this point. It's going to be those three teams contending for that final playoff spot in the West.
Yeah, Chris Kerber was talking about the Blues' position over the next, well, starting yesterday with yesterday's game, over the next couple of games, and said, you could, it's not a huge jump, but you could look at these two games as the trajectory setter for the rest of the season. That so goes the next two or three games, so goes the Blues' playoff chances, which was kind of, you know, that's a lot of pressure to put on those two or three games. But as you mentioned, it's against a team like Calgary. If you're battling for that spot, you can't throw away many points.
No, no. Again, if they, like, not to make too much of one single game, but Amy, if they lose that game last night, I think it's incredibly challenging to see a path to the playoffs where, with the win, you still can kind of see it.
All right, let's talk some Cardinals here. As I mentioned, the caravan happens on Friday, or at least it begins on Friday. We got the winter warm-up. Amy and I will be at Ballpark Village at Cardinals Nation from 9 to 11. We're going to be broadcasting there. So as we get closer to the winter warm-up, it's one of those things where I think a lot of Cardinals fans are just, you know, they love when baseball season happens. There may not be quite as much excitement this year just based on what they've done or what they've not done during the offseason. So as we sit here about a month from spring training, how do you feel about where they are?
Not great, because there's still so many unknowns at this point. The Nolan Arenado thing is still hanging out there. They haven't done anything in terms of adding free agents or anything. So I don't feel great. I don't feel great in terms of the team they are, but more importantly, I don't feel great about the fact that they have advanced what they're trying to do in terms of giving young kids runway and being able to just give opportunities to younger players. Now, there's still a lot of time. When I talked to John Mozeliak last week, I knew that he made it very clear that they're still talking to a number of teams and there's still lots of time to get stuff done. And he talked openly about adding to the bullpen, adding a right-handed bat. So there's still things that they want to do. And I think there are going to be things that they do at some point in time. But right now, I don't think there's any reason to feel really good about the offseason, because all they've done is let free agents walk. They just haven't done much of anything.
What's the likelihood of some sort of surprise, and I guess significant surprise is what I'm asking here, between now and when they have to report?
I don't think high. I think the most that they do is add a piece here and a piece there that can either help in the bullpen, or I guess the biggest surprise would be Nolan Arenado walks into camp and they say that, you know what, he's going to be our third baseman. He's going to be our third baseman all season long. We've made the decision that we don't want to trade him. I guess that would be a surprise to me, but I don't think that's even likely. So, no, I don't expect there to be a surprise.
All right, so they are where they are. They're still trying to deal Nolan Arenado. Is there a date that you think they get to, and if he's not gone by then, he's probably just here? Is it spring training? Is it the middle of spring training? How do you look at that?
Trade deadline. Like, I'm not being facetious when I say that. I don't think there is, because things can happen.
Before the season starts, do you think it's likely that, or possible even, that he gets dealt once they report to camp?
Yeah, I think that's possible. If an injury happens, at this point, that might even be more plausible depending on what happens, because he's got a very select number of teams that he wants to go to. The Dodgers don't seem to be really interested in him, right? So let's say Max Muncy goes down with an injury in spring training. Well, then all of a sudden, things look a whole lot different when it comes to Los Angeles.
All right. Well, I'm just hoping that they do something here that gets people excited. The problem is, I'm looking at the rest of the division and where the rest of the division sits, And it just, look, I know it's the Central. Anything can happen. I just don't have a ton of confidence that what goes on from, you know, now until the middle of the season is, you know, like, I don't know. I want to say that anything can happen here, and it can. I know that's true, but it's really tough when you look at everybody else and what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, look, not a lot has been done in the Central. The Cubs made, you know, a key move in going. But even the Cubs, I don't think the Cubs are world beaters at this point. The Brewers appear to be worse than they were last year. That never seems to impact them. If the Cardinals get major steps forward from Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, this team absolutely can be contending for a playoff spot. But to me, that's the key thing here. Those guys have to turn into middle-of-the-order run-producing bats, and they haven't been that yet. If they're not that, then I think it's a lot tougher to, you know, even squint and see this thing going the way Cardinals fans would like it to go.
All right, just quick question about some of the football games coming up this weekend. It makes sense. This statement is... It makes sense. It's just plain math, but I hadn't said it out loud. And that was, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played since Christmas Day. And he hasn't played a game since Christmas Day. So it will be, I think...
So he's going to suck now, right?
Well, it'll be 25 days between, you know, starts for him. Does that matter? Is it more of a good thing because he had a hurt ankle? Or does it mean you could lose some sharpness?
It doesn't have zero impact, but I think the impact of getting healthy and not playing in games since then, outweighs any negatives of there maybe being some rust when the game gets started. This is the Chiefs. This is Patrick Mahomes. This team knows how to flip the proverbial switch when they need to. Again, it's going to be a home game. So, again, I'm not saying it has zero impact. I think it's a really, really legitimate question for sure. But I don't – I think the decision that the Chiefs made on not playing Mahomes and some other players in the final couple weeks and having the bye week last week, it's going to be – that's the positives definitely outweigh the negatives.
I think we talked about this, right, where there were people upset with them. Really, it was just Bengals fans who were upset with them for not playing their starters in the final game of the season because they were resting them like any other team does. That's stupid, right?
It's beyond dumb. You worry about yourself first. I think I said this before. If Kansas City in that game would have been at the 1 yard line with in a game that they were losing by 3 and they took a knee to lose purposefully and get Cincinnati out, well then that's a different circumstance. But they didn't do that. Cincinnati was not on their mind when they made the decisions that they made. All they
Every
cared about was
that.
Getting themselves right. Yeah. No, it's anybody who thinks that's a thing, I don't think completely understands sports.
All right, so they will play at 3:30. On Saturday, there are two games on Saturday, Chiefs and Texans, and then the Commanders and Lions play at 7. I know we have the Chiefs broadcast, we will have the game here on KMOX if people want to listen in. So, I believe we have that game, and if they make it to the AFC Championship, we'll be airing that one as well.
Yeah, we have everything up until the Super Bowl when it comes to the Chiefs. And then I don't know, like this past weekend we ran the Saturday games. I'm not sure what else we have this weekend.
What,
if we do.
You got Sports Open Line tonight, short show before women's basketball, St. Louis University women's basketball. What do we have tonight, Matthew?
Steve Weiss is going to be on the program for a little bit.
Steve Weiss?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like
he
Steve
is going
Weiss.
To be on this evening, so we're looking forward to that. And yeah, we got about 45 minutes. We'll see what else we have up our sleeve before all is said and done.
Go get him.
All right.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Steve Weiss, NFL Network.
There you go.
It's a big dog.
There you go.
So that'll be tonight, 6 o'clock to 6:45. As Matt mentioned, there is women's basketball tonight. They take on G-Dub. You know what G-Dub is, Amy?
George Washington.
That is right.